This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to yet another edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It's good to have you on board once again. And it is a Tuesday post Ironman 70.3 World Championships. What a weekend it was. Man alive. I spoke last week about how proud I was that we were hosting the race here in South Africa and getting to showcase the country that we're so proud of. Obviously, let's be honest, we do have issues, as does everywhere else in the world. But yeah, we get to live in such an incredible place. And if you ever make it out to this part of the world, or if you're ever thinking of a destination race to come to, yeah, definitely come to South Africa. I won't lie, if you're coming from the States or from Australia or Europe, it's a long way to come. The flights are long, the flights are expensive. But man alive, once you're here, it's pretty competitive price-wise on the ground, accommodation, food, and that sort of thing. And you will have an experience of a lifetime. And I'm sure anybody who has come out for Ironman 70.3 World Champs will attest to that. So if you are still in South Africa and you're racing and you're going to spend a few days looking around, enjoy, soak it all up. And I'm, like I said, extremely proud of what we were able to put on this weekend here in South Africa. It was an amazing, amazing weekend. And yeah, congratulations to everyone who took part, man. What a weekend of racing. Phew. Now, the focus shifts to Kona just a short while away. And on today's podcast, we have the next edition of our Do You Know Kona series with Dan Plews, who's building up to the big dance on the Big Island. And we'll find out how his preparation is going in just a moment. But a big thank you to the sponsor of this edition of the Kona Edge. It was, or it is rather, brought to you by S Fuels. Finally, ultra-endurance athletes have a choice, and that's to hydrate and fuel muscles without sugary drinks, without gels, without the sugar swings, and without sugar gut issues and inflammation. S-Fuel's ultra-endurance drink mix in coconut lime, strawberry lemonade, and pomegranate acai hydrates, fuels, and supports the gut and muscles in ultra-endurance training and racing. The best part about it is if you want to try out S-Fuel's, they're giving you a money-back guarantee, so it's absolutely risk-free, and they'll throw in free shipping on your first order as well. Go check it out. The URL to get to is below the podcast that you're listening to this in the player. All you need to do is click on it or head over to thekonaedge.com/sfuels. That's S-F-U-E-L-S. thekonaedge.com/sfuels. Tell them we sent you, and we look forward to finding out how you go on S-Fuels. Coming up on today's podcast as well, after we touch base with Dan Plews, we'll hear from James Harrington, how he approaches Ironman from a nutrition point of view.
Hi there, Dan Plews here from S-Fuels TV, and this is week number 5 of Do You Know Kona? So we're now 5 weeks from the big race on the island of Hawaii, the Kona World Championships. And this week, I'm just going to talk a little bit about run focus. So what should we be focusing on with these 5 weeks before the event? Hopefully now most of the volume and the work is done. Can still be good to keep that one long run up in the week, maybe just to help with the confidence. But I would be specifically focusing on definitely getting some Ironman-type pace off those long bike rides. Doesn't need to be super long, doesn't need to be going over towards the 20K, just 8 to 12K is enough, but really homing in on that pace that you think is achievable for the duration of the Ironman marathon. Many people make the mistake that they go out too fast, and it really does feel quite easy in the first 10K, so I think it's really important that you practice the pace that you think is maintainable and really feel and get a gauge of how that is on the body physiologically in training before the event. Until next time, see you then.
Let's chat some nutrition here on the podcast, and we head back to the United States to catch up with James Harrington. James, welcome back onto the show. Thanks for joining me.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
James, let's talk about your nutrition, and it must be a struggle for you being on the road as much as you are work-wise. I always say having a solid nutrition plan in place, 90% of it is planning, but when you're on the road, it's not as easy as that, is it?
Yeah, it can be difficult. Breakfasts are usually pretty doable and pretty easy. You know, I can usually pick up some eggs and some fruit and stuff like that for breakfast, so it's not too bad. You really got to watch the lunches and the dinners is really what can add up. For me, when I'm home and not traveling, you know, breakfast is probably one of my larger meals of the day, you know, and then lunch probably gets a little bit smaller. And quite honestly, a lot of times dinner is one of my smaller meals. But you know, it kind of sort of is flip-flopped when I'm on the road sometimes. But really it's trying to just be consistent, and be disciplined. It seems like when I get into training a little bit more, I would love to have a nice chocolate cake and some sweets. And I actually kind of crave that sometimes, but you just got to have that discipline to say no. And you know, try to be a little bit better, knowing that the race is coming up and that you got to hold back just a little bit. I do a lot of salads, a lot of fish, and try not to get wrapped up too much in the processed stuff and things like that, to try to just keep it normal, keep it natural, keep it simple. I'm the kind of person that I could eat the exact same thing every single day for lunch for, you know, like 3 months. It wouldn't bother me. So typically I've kind of got my places that I know I can go to. I know what I'm going to get. I usually don't even have to look at a menu. I'm set. There are a couple of hotels that I travel to frequently, and I don't even pull up a menu, and they actually know when I walk up to the restaurant what I actually want, and I just order it, and I'm good. So,
and it's interesting that, James, because I say it's a challenge eating while on the road. It's a decision to eat while on the road, because it's up to you to choose. You can. It's just as easy if you're going to a restaurant to select something healthy or something not healthy. But like you say, it boils down to discipline.
Yeah, I can have a hamburger and French fries, or I can have a salmon salad. So it's they're both right there in front of me. But it's just about having the discipline to, you know, make sure you make the right choice, and you know, and make the right choice when it makes sense. You know, if I'm in the off season, I'm going to have the hamburger and French fries and a beer. You know, if I'm 2 months out from race, I'm going to have the salmon salad and a glass of water probably. So it's just about, you know, I think in moderation. And understanding when you can do it, and, you know, what you're then going to consume that will allow you to really, perform best and have the best workout, is really what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, it's about balance. And I asked you the question in one of our earlier chats about how do you stay fresh in the sport? And I think that's part of it as well, is not denying yourself the good stuff. Every now and again, it is cool to hang out on the dark side, but you don't want to hang out there for too long. And a balanced diet isn't too a Krispy Kreme donut in each hand. It's you've just got to everything in moderation, I think, is the key. From a day-to-day perspective, I mean, you talk about healthy sort of whole foods, not processed rubbish. Is it as simple as that? I mean, is that